This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A federal judge in San Francisco dealt a potential blow to President Trump and Elon Musk's plans to cut the federal workforce, saying that the Office of Personnel Management lacks authority to fire employees on its own. Another hearing scheduled for 2 weeks, but the job cuts continue, says ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
The Department of Veterans Affairs firing some 1,000 newly hired employees. And the government job cuts could affect your weather forecast. 800 workers have been fired at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, including a meteorologist working to improve hurricane models.
President Trump today meets with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House. They're expected to sign an agreement giving the U.S. access to some Ukrainian natural resources. The mystery surrounding Gene Hackman's death is growing. Authorities in New Mexico say the two-time Oscar winner and his wife had likely been dead for weeks before they were found in their home. There's no indication of a break-in or robbery. This is ABC News. President Trump denied knowing anything about the release of two of his supporters from Romania, the infamous Tate brothers. They're now in Florida. After landing, Andrew Tate said,
"We've yet to be convicted of any crime in our lives ever. We have no criminal record anywhere on the planet ever."
ABC's Patrick Reval has more.
The Tate brothers were first arrested in late 2022 in Romania, and they were accused of human trafficking and of organizing a criminal group for the exploitation of women. Andrew was also accused of rape. And what they are accused of doing by multiple women is of tricking them into believing they were in love with them, luring them to this compound they have outside Bucharest, and then while there, essentially pressuring them to start working in poor conditions as webcam models.
Today in New Orleans, the greasing of the poles, one of the events that kicks off the Mardi Gras weekend to deter revelers from climbing up some key coveted poles in the region. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
It's got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin players headed to the NFL. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. 300 of the best college football players here to interview and work out for NFL teams. One of them, Badgers safety Hunter Woller, who saw his team fall to 5-7 and miss playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. I asked Woller, who grew up in Muskego, Wisconsin, how concerned is he about the Badgers football program?
It's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years haven't exactly been what I envisioned, what Coach Fickell has envisioned, but like, Coach Fick's a great coach. I have 100% faith that he's gonna get that program in the right place.
NBA, Bucks with a win over the Denver Nuggets, 121-112. Milwaukee getting help from guys off the bench in the fourth quarter, like Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, they made a great run for us. That cushion, that momentum, that was huge for us. You know, and again, I think as great as they've been, I think they're going to be so much better a few weeks, a month down the line, which is scary to think.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you weren't already aware, there will be a Shrek 5, and it will have a fresh-faced new star in the cast, according to Deadline.com. Zendaya will join the cast as Shrek's daughter. If you're scoring at home, that means she will play the offspring of Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz. Eddie Murphy will also be back as Donkey. Shrek 5 will be the first film in the franchise to hit theaters since 2010's Shrek Forever. The fifth installment is expected to grace our screens Christmas of 2026. The death of Gene Hackman will most likely be talked about for weeks to come in the entertainment business. Hackman and his wife Betsy were found dead in their New Mexico home Wednesday. Hackman quietly retired from acting in 2004 after appearing in the film Welcome to Mooseport. In a 2009 interview with Empire magazine regarding his retirement, Hackman revealed that the straw that broke the camel's back was his doctor telling him his heart could no longer handle excessive stress. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be really windy today with gusts from 40 to 45 likely for a good chunk of the day. It'll be partly to mostly cloudy, a sprinkle or two possible with temperatures climbing into the upper 40s by midday, dropping quickly into the 30s by late afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny and not windy but cooler, high of 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 42.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is out, but I, Greg Bach, am your guest host for the day, and we have political editor Dan Schaefer recombobulating the news, and this shouldn't be a thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack Peach Wabba.
Welcome back. We are celebrating, well, we're celebrating comedy tonight, like we often do, and the life of Gene Hackman. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Gene Hackman movie? Let us know at 855-752-4842, or you can text us through the app or on the stream. Just text us, folks. There are no wrong answers. Right now, joining me on the stream is our friend Rich Tallarico. He is a writer who has written for such great legendary sketch shows as Saturday Night Live, Mad TV, and, of course, Key and Peele. Rich, remind us, if you would, you had the honor of having a sketch, a classic sketch you wrote, one of the best ever, from Key and Peele, The Substitute Teacher, be recognized and part of the Smithsonian. I think you talked about that a little bit the last time you were here. Can you remind us what exactly happened and how that happened?
Yeah, well, there's an exhibit called, I think, Entertainment Nation, and it was installed in the Smithsonian Institution's American History Museum something, and it was put in there last year, and the, you know, the exhibit will be there for 20 years, and as part of this exhibit, you know, which covers different media, it also covers sports and entertainment, you know, the Entertainment Nation, and one of the pieces was the Key and Peele sketch Substitute Teacher, which I was responsible for. That came from a story about my eighth grade teacher, Mr. Chudy, and you know, Mr. Chudy was ready to retire. And he had to do roll call. And we had complicated names in our class. We had a girl named Lori Babiars. We had a girl named Olga Plachotnik. And we had a guy named Chester Dobrinsky. So there was, like, you know, some alphabet soup going on. So Mr. Chudy would look at the roll and he would see the name. He wouldn't even really try. Like, he'd see the name Babiars. And he'd look down and he'd look up and he'd go, Babish. And then the girl would, like, raise her hand and go, here? Like, you know, I think you mean me. And then he'd see Chester Dobrinsky and he'd go, Dijinsky. And it was like close. Oh, very close. And he'd see Olga Plachotnik and his head would explode. But it's so funny because I'm friends with Olga still, and I see her on social media. And every time I tell this story, she's like, hey, somebody said you were telling this story again. Oh, but no, that's so where, that's where that sketch comes from. And there was some improvisation on the set, I know, between Keegan and D-Nice. They did that whole back and forth thing, was kind of improvised on the set, and but it's blown up, and, you know, people all over the world know it, and I've seen people keep sending me license plates. People are changing their license plates to Aaron and Jake Quellen and Balake.
That is so great. We have we have another, and how cool, like, I mean, the Smithsonian. You know,
it's amazing.
If you've ever had a doubt about your career choice, and I'm sure you haven't because you're masterful at it, but the Smithsonian, that pretty much says.
No, I went down there last year, and, you know, it was incredible to walk through and to see it. You know, it's just kind of playing with a few other clips that were in the same exhibit. But, like, every time it came on, you're just like, I can't believe this is this is here. Very cool.
That's amazing. Well, we have another skit, sketch that we clipped, and we pared it down a little bit, and I'd like to play this and then get your reaction from it when we come back. It's about a minute or a minute and 20 seconds. Conrad, if you would, please.
Well, stay off the roads if you can, folks. Lots of reports of black ice.
Ooh, you gotta watch out for that dangerous black ice. It's transparent and sneaky. Hard to see black ice.
That's right, Marcy. Keep your loved ones safe and warn them to stay off the streets tonight because of menacing, life-robbing black ice.
Isaac.
We have Channel 17's field reporter Darren Hempner with more. Darren?
Yeah. I'm standing out here at historic Ramsey Hill where there are currently no cars on the street due to hazardous driving conditions.
Darren, are you talking about black ice?
That's right.
Ooh, Jesus. It's frightening just to even say black ice.
It's scary, tricky, ruthless stuff, that black ice. A perfectly safe neighborhood can be suddenly terrorized by the appearance of black ice.
Well, one must keep in mind that just because black ice looks different than white ice, it doesn't make it any more dangerous. Also, one must remember how hard it is for black ice to survive, what with the authorities trying to destroy it with the snow plows and the salt trucks. But black ice perseveres.
That's right. That's right. And as you can see right now, the city is being controlled by lots of oppressive white snow, making it hard for all people to advance. And we don't hear much news about that. Now, do we?
No, we do not.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Darren.
But let's be honest, black ice is the real menace. Last night, I was in a perfectly safe neighborhood walking away from an ATM machine when black ice just snuck up on me and practically robbed me of my balance.
Ouch. That sounds exactly like something black ice would do.
Well, I just hope that folks watch out so the white snow doesn't blind them and keep them from seeing what's really going on.
That's the black ice sketch from Key and Peele, written by our guest, Rich Tallarico. You have so many great sketches, and one we're not going to get to either, where you wrote the Obama sketch where he plays Obama and he's going through the line addressing people from different races differently. Mm-hmm. So funny. How did you come up with these, and what were those pitch sessions like where you're pitching these guys your sketches?
Well, thanks. You know, a comedian just basically, as you know, the things come to you. You just live life and you wait for things to kind of tap you on the shoulder. And you try to be a good receiver. But I remember the black ice sketch came from, I was watching the Weather Channel and they had some report about, you know, black ice. But the way they were saying it, they were like, black ice. Like they just were so threatening with it. And, you know, you write it down and I go, I think this could be something to where they're, you know, and just basically the setup that happened. That sketch, by the way, the you know, female, the white folk presenters, the news presenters were Laird McIntosh from The Groundlings, who's terrific. He's so great. And Arden Mirren, who I actually met in 1993 in my Improv Olympic class in Chicago, my first Improv Olympic class in the spring of 93. So it was great to work with Arden again. But no, that's where that came from. And then, of course, it got heightened. And, you know, I pitched the idea and Key and Peele took to it pretty quickly. This is a sketch, though, I got to say, that has surprised all of us in that it's very popular. And I just didn't think it would be the, you know, didn't think it would connect as much as it did. But it really does connect to people. And, you know, you rewrite these things 6, 7, 8 times before it even goes to production. And then sometimes on the set, you know, I know that Jordan with the line where he goes, yeah, like that was improvised. That was not in the script. And I'd written a few versions of the script. So the good thing about Key and Peele is you're usually delighted if they do something that isn't in the script. Yeah. It's usually for good reason. And I had one sketch, which was this Severed Head Warriors sketch where basically this guy is like cuts off a head, you know, like in Conan the Barbarian or something. And he yells and everybody cheers with him. And then he like likes the fact that people yelled. So he's trying to get more reaction. So he like puts the head on his shoulder. He starts to pretend he's got two heads. And then people are like, oh no, that's too much. He's like, okay, what do you think of this? And then he like puts it on a pair of sandals and walks the head around and the people start to laugh again. So he's just trying to get, but basically when they shot it, because I had written all this dialogue for the guy, like, okay, guys, what do you think of this? And he, like, put the head on the shoulder. they cut all the dialogue and just did grunts. So, you know, as a writer, so he's like, So, but as a writer, you know, you're delighted when you're like, hey, when do you ever say, I'm so glad they cut every word I wrote.
Right.
You know, I'm so glad they just did grunts. Oh, and then the other one you asked about was, aside from Black Ops, the Obama greets.
Yeah, that's so funny.
You know, it's funny. I just noticed them doing it. And Key and Peele had done another sketch about what you call code switching. You know, because you're different with different people, right? I'm different with my poker buddies than I am with my little nephews. You know, I'm really mean and crude and rude with my little nephews, and I'm very polite with my poker buddies. No kidding. but they had another code switching sketch, and I think I was watching Obama, like, greet different people. And, of course, we heightened it and exaggerated it. But in 2024, Obama greeted the USA basketball team and did that bit.
Oh,
like, he actually did that. He pretended to greet people differently based on their race. So you know, that's the Key and Peele filter that we were writing under, which was to look at the world in a, you know, hopefully a post-racial world, which I don't know if we're ever going to be in. But, you know, with Obama being the president, it was this synergy of this show coming along and Jordan also being able to do an incredible Obama impression.
Great stuff. I want to ask you something before we run out of time. You recently said you had a screenplay curated. Kind of a cool honor. What's that like, and what happens next with that?
Oh, thanks for asking, Pete. Sure. Well, basically, during the lockdown, I wrote a script called The Widow Daredevil. And it's based on the true story of Annie Edson Taylor, who at 63 was a failed charm school teacher, and she tried to reverse her fortunes by becoming a daredevil. And this is a true story, and her stunt was to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. She did it, she survived, and then there's this whole story that happens after she achieves the stunt. So I was I grew up in central New York, so I've always known her story, and I wrote this script. In 2020, the Beverly Hills Film Festival made it an official selection, which is just, you know, a way to kind of put a laurel on it. And then this year I submitted it for the Gray List, which is a curated list of market-ready screenplays for writers 40 and up. And they put it in like right at the top of their list, which is terrific. And, you know, the hope is that I can connect with a producer or a studio that wants to help me, you know, take it to the screen. I'm also presently exploring some options of raising some money and just trying to do it independently. So if there's any, you know, film lovers out there that want to invest, you can find me at richtellerico.com.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we should have a talk about that off the air. I would love to hear more and see what we can, maybe we can collaborate on something there. But we have about 1 minute left, Rich, and thank you again for your time. Of all the, like, you've written for Saturday Night Live, Mad TV, and Key and Peele, you've obviously are known more probably for Key and Peele, but what was your best experience of those three shows?
Well, you know, SNL was, you know, like, right, if the New York Yankees call, you have to go.
Yeah.
And they actually offered me a job in 1997 as a writer, and I didn't take it because I was really trying to be an actor. I was like, I don't want to be a writer, you know. And it wasn't until I finished Second City, because I really wanted to finish Second City. And I went to Mad TV right after Second City. I did that for 3 seasons. And then I went to SNL for 2 and went back to Mad TV after that. And then I did The Tonight Show and then Key and Peele. But as far as, you know, the experiences, the SNL experience was tops. You know, I got some stuff on. I had some stuff with De Niro, with Janet Jackson, with Snoop Dogg, with Paul Giamatti. You know, I had a lot of great times there. But it wasn't really my style because everything was to camera. You know, everybody talked to the camera. So that was a big shift. When I got to Key and Peele, it was, you know, actors performing scenes, which is really
Rich,
what I wanted to
Rich,
write for.
Can you hang on 1 minute and I'll let you finish story? We got to do this is a very quick break. We're coming right back with Rich Tallarico. Thanks so much.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Earl Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week. And then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the 4 main things to help us balance. How I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Rob Thomas coming up in just a few minutes to talk about Gene Hackman, and we've got my favorite clip I'm going to play in just a minute here. Right now, we have Rich Tallarico on the line, who has been gracious enough to spend some time with us here tonight and hang around a little extra. Rich, you were talking about your most pleasurable experience when it came to all your awesome writing gigs at Key & Peele, Saturday Night Live, and Mad TV. Please continue.
Well, thanks, Pete. You know, I appreciate it, and I'm sorry I went over time there.
No, that's okay. Know, we have a system where the computer just takes over whether we want it to or not. So I didn't want you to get cut off. So I didn't mean interrupt.
No, you're good. If you want to make a week go by fast, you buy bananas. You want to make a evening go by fast, you do one of these. So, yeah, but at SNL, you know, I wrote the Super Bowl Shuffle sketch for Tom Brady. I had a couple of scenes with De Niro. So, you know, just going out and being in the city and, you know, basically you have the keys to the city and the show spoils its people and they're very good to you. So, you know, that was an incredible thing. And Mad TV was so laid back and I loved, you know, basically just living in my, you know, a t-shirt and shorts and, you know, being in Hollywood,
yeah,
you know, every day and writing comedy and going out to lunch and hanging out. And we just had so much fun. There's a lot of laughter and silliness. You know, the office at Mad TV was very silly. We had ping pong tables and, you know, staying late and having a lot of fun together. So, I mean, all of it's incredible. And, you know, I'm in a chapter now where I'm doing more teaching and I'm trying to write more screenplays. I'm trying to get my screenplays sold. But, you know, spending your 30s, you know, in these writers' rooms is certainly the way to go. I would highly recommend.
Well, next time you're here, buddy, we'll get more into the screenplays. And I know you're doing stand-up, sure, too. We can talk about that next time, too. So
yeah,
let's do this again soon. Thank you so much again, Rich. You're always so much fun, buddy. Continued success.
My pleasure.
All right.
You too, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, my friend. That's Rich Tallarico. Just Google Key & Peele, Rich Tallarico. All his sketches come up. They're so great. And very talented writer. Always fun when Rich is on the show. So in just a few minutes, Rob Thomas will be here. And last night on the show, Jamie McShane was here, a good friend of mine who's in the show 1923. And I asked him who his influences were. And this is what he said just last night. A character, maybe a famous character or a type of role that you haven't played yet that you would love to do.
I love period pieces. If I could, I would love to play Gene Hackman's son.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that has been my dream. Unfortunately, Gene doesn't act anymore.
Right.
I would absolutely love that.
Who are your influences? Like, when you decided, I think I can do this, who did you want to emulate?
Hackman was a huge influence when I was growing up.
Wow, that was incredible. That was just last night. And then I wake up this morning to the news that Gene Hackman had passed away at 95 years old. So the circumstances, we don't know the full extent yet, but either way, it's a loss, even though he was 95. And it appears that the way he went, too, is kind of peculiar. And hopefully they'll get that worked out. But just last night, another great actor, Jamie McShane, who his resume is incredible. It just shows you the reach or the influence of Gene Hackman, such a great actor. We have a scene here. Do we have time to play this from Mississippi Burning? Okay, this is one of my favorite scenes between two great actors, Gene Hackman and Willem Dafoe, Appleton's own, Wisconsin's own Willem Dafoe. They're arguing about how to get these racist bad guys after one of them just beat up his wife, played by Frances McDormand, who Gene Hackman has some affection for. And this is the argument between these two great actors.
Mr. Anderson, stop! Mr. Anderson!
What the hell?
I'm telling you to stop, and I mean it. We're not killers. That's the difference between them and us.
That's the difference between them and you.
You're not any more like them than I am.
Wrong. What do you care what I do if some hiding behind a sheriff's badge? Don't you have the whole world to change?
That's right, and I'm changing it.
Oh, you're just as arrogant as you are stupid.
You're changing it too.
God damn, well, I'm gonna make some changes right now.
Don't be so stupid. Don't go messing this up just because you're partial to fooling around with witnesses.
You! Oh, come on. Ah! Ah! It don't mean I have a gun unless you're ready to use it.
I'll kill you right now if you don't listen to what I have to tell you.
Let me go.
Let me go. We'll go after all of them. Together.
You wouldn't know how.
You're gonna teach me how.
You don't have the guts.
Not only do I have the guts, I have the authority.
What is that supposed to mean?
New rules. We nail them any way we can, even your way.
Is this you talking or some guy pulling your strings, huh?
Both.
We do it my way.
Your way.
With my people.
Whatever it takes.
Okay. Give me a minute. You think he would have shot me?
Oh, yes, sir.
He's a ballsy little bastard, isn't he?
Such a... I mean, that's one of my favorite, not only Gene Hackman scenes, but my favorite scenes in the history of movies. Two guys at the height of their career, both badass roles. And if you haven't seen Mississippi Burning, I highly recommend it. There's so many Gene Hackman films you could see. The Conversation, Mississippi Burning, The French Connection. Some people say The Royal Tenenbaums, Hoosiers, the list goes on and on. Steady Eddie texts us, our question tonight is, what was your favorite Gene Hackman film? And Steady Eddie says, Pete, favorite Gene Hackman movie? Gotta be Hoosiers. A few of your listeners probably know this, but I've heard, not sure if it's true, that a young athletic Pete Schwabo has a cameo appearance in Hoosiers in a scene where a guy makes a spectacular slam dunk at the Indiana State tournament. Pete was the helpless, hapless defender under the basket who got posterized. Great acting, Mr. Schwabe. I think you should have at least been nominated. The Academy robbed you, man. It's a wonderful, charming, inspiring, sweet chocolate and caramel chewy film. Wow, look at Steady Eddie go, Conrad. He's on fire tonight. He says, that's right, Pete. Hoosiers is my Milk Duds pick of the week. I give it 4.5 chewy chocolate Milk Duds. That's so disgusting. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Great stuff. All right. In just a few minutes, Rob Thomas will be here. Rob was just here last night, but, you know, in the events that unfolded since his last appearance and Jamie McShane's last appearance, which we just heard a clip from that, we figured we had to have Rob back on to help us break down some of this news about Gene Hackman and talk a little bit about his career. It's the least we could do after he's given us so much. And we'll do that next. Rob Thomas coming up. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A federal judge in San Francisco dealt a potential blow to President Trump and Elon Musk's plans to cut the federal workforce, saying that the Office of Personnel Management lacks authority to fire employees on its own. Another hearing scheduled for 2 weeks, but the job cuts continue, says ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
The Department of Veterans Affairs firing some 1,000 newly hired employees. And the government job cuts could affect your weather forecast. 800 workers have been fired at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, including a meteorologist working to improve hurricane models.
President Trump today meets with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House. They're expected to sign an agreement giving the U.S. access to some Ukrainian natural resources. The mystery surrounding Gene Hackman's death is growing. Authorities in New Mexico say the two-time Oscar winner and his wife had likely been dead for weeks before they were found in their home. There's no indication of a break-in or robbery. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin players headed to the NFL. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. 300 of the best college football players here to interview and work out for NFL teams. One of them, Badgers safety Hunter Wohler, who saw his team fall to 5-7 and miss playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. I asked Wohler, who grew up in Muskego, Wisconsin, how concerned is he about the Badgers football program?
It's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years haven't exactly been what I envisioned, what Coach Fickell has envisioned, but like, Coach Vick's a great coach. I have 100% faith that he's gonna get that program in the right place.
NBA, Bucks with a win over the Denver Nuggets, 121-112. Milwaukee getting help from guys off the bench in the fourth quarter like Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, they made a great run for us. That cushion, that momentum, that was huge for us. You know, and again, I think as great as they've been, I think they're going to be so much better a few weeks, a month down the line, which is scary to think.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The legendary Gene Hackman has passed away at the age of 95. If you haven't already heard, Hackman, his wife Betsy Arakawa, a classically trained pianist, and the couple's dog were found in their New Mexico home. Authorities say they had been dead for a while. Hackman was the star of films like The French Connection, The Poseidon Adventure, Mississippi Burning, The Conversation, and Hoosiers. The late great Hackman moved to Pasadena, California in 1952 after he got out of the Marines and met Dustin Hoffman at the Pasadena Playhouse, where both were voted least likely to succeed. Seems like a pretty cruel award to give to another adult. Despite not having leading man looks, Hackman says he never cared about that and just wanted to act in any capacity. Hackman retired from acting in 2004 and moved to New Mexico, where he became involved in the arts community and wrote books. Gene Hackman is quite often referred to as the greatest American actor. He won Oscars for his role in The French Connection and Unforgiven. Gene Hackman was 95. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be really windy today with gusts from 40 to 45 likely for a good chunk of the day. It'll be partly to mostly cloudy, a sprinkle or two possible with temperatures climbing into the upper 40s by midday, dropping quickly into the 30s by late afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny and not windy but cooler, high of 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 42.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director and driving force behind the film Green and Gold, Anders Lindwall. Comedian James Connolly and Max Inc. co-host Terry Barr joins us for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
back. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, it is a bar band Friday night. We will find new music thanks to our friend and co-host of Max Inc. Radio, Terry Barr, who drops by every Friday night. Director Anders Lindwall will be here tomorrow night at 7:05 to talk about the success of his film Green and Gold and tell you where you can see it in the weeks to come. I think it has one more week in the theaters. We'll talk to Anders about that tomorrow night. And comedian James Connolly helps us kick things off tomorrow night at 6:35. I would like to thank on short notice. All right. Many of you might remember this next guest from last night. He is becoming a series regular here on Nightlight. And he joins us now to talk about the legendary Gene Hackman. And it's Rob Thomas, Madison film critic and editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter. Rob, how are you?
I'm good, Pete. How are you?
Good. Long time, buddy. We got to catch up. And yeah, I appreciate you. Yeah, I appreciate you jumping on short notice, but man, that was big news. Last night, I had actor Jamie McShane on, and I asked him who his influences were, and he immediately brought up Gene Hackman. So to get that news this morning was just insane. And you know, not, I mean, he's 95, but it's a surprise the way he went. Like, you make it to 95, and then I guess they're saying it might be carbon monoxide or something.
Yeah, it's very strange. And then I read some other, I don't want to get into too much sleep, but there were a lot of other strange things, like the dog was dead too. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And he had been retired for 20 years. Like he made so many movies and then stopped in 2004 with this movie called Welcome to Mooseport, which was not a good movie. He knew it was time to get out. And I respect that. You know, and
didn't he
and
share enjoy. The screen with was it Ray Romano who was in that film?
Yeah. I actually think Ray Romano's turned into a really good actor, but it was just not a. I remember seeing it, and it was not a good movie, not a good use of either of them,
right.
You can understand why Gene Hackman was like, well, maybe I'll go write Western novels and hang out in New Mexico instead of doing this stuff.
Yeah. Well, he's such an interesting guy, Rob. What can you tell us about like his background and anything you might know? And maybe we can have a conversation about that and then talk about some of his movies.
Yeah. You know, I always thought he was a Midwestern guy. I know Danville, Illinois really claimed him. But actually, I guess he was born in California and then moved around the Midwest as he was younger. And Danville was the one I think that he maybe felt closest to and would come back for like, you know, city festivals and things like that. And then like in the 50s, 60s, he was sort of a journeyman actor. He roomed with Dustin Hoffman. That's pretty famous.
Yeah.
Known and would do theater, would do TV. Apparently he auditioned to play Mike Brady on the Brady Bunch, but got beat up by Robert Reed. I would love to see that version of the Brady Bunch.
Oh my gosh.
Much more intense, maybe.
That's hilarious.
And then his big breakthrough was with Bonnie and Clyde in 1967, where he got his first of two Oscars. And then it was really off to the races for the next 40 years. I mean, an incredible career. So many great movies, so many great performances, sometimes in movies that didn't live up to them. And like he could play anything. He could play, you know, the kindest hero like in Hoosiers.
Yeah.
He could play the worst villain like in like The Quick and the Dead, and then just play every note on the spectrum in between those two.
That's so funny you mentioned
that. It always felt so real, you know?
Yeah, yeah. My friend Scott Clace, who's also an actor, I saw a post he just did on Facebook saying he could always be Hackman. And I used to think that wasn't really a compliment. Like, I always felt Chevy Chase was just Chevy Chase. But Gene Hackman, like, was Gene Hackman. He brought himself to those roles and made them better. And yes. I think that's the difference. So, just a phenomenal. But what a life. Like, where are these guys? You don't see, you know, so many Hollywood actors of a different generation. And it's probably indicative of just how things are now. They did military service. Like, he's got service medals from the Navy and the Marines. And, you know, and then he just decides he wants to act. It's just crazy. I love that somebody told him you don't have a face for a leading man and he didn't care. He's like, I just want to act. I don't really care. you know?
Right, right. And took, and obviously became a leading man in so many great movies, but also took big parts and small parts right up until the very, you know, like him and Young Frankenstein. That is one of the funniest.
I gotta rewatch that. Yeah.
Oh, God. Where he comes up to, you know, Frankenstein. He's the blind man who Frankenstein visits, and Frankenstein, you know, it's such a great scene. I was going to make espresso. I mean, you know, I actually don't think of Hackman as generally very funny in movies, but he's so funny in that movie.
But if you're a great actor, you can be funny if you're using the material in front of you. And that's what he was so great at.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't trying to play funny. He was trying to play real, and that made it funnier. Yeah, yeah.
So he got a nomination for Bonnie and Clyde. He also won an Oscar for, was it The Conversation? No, French Connection, right, I believe?
That's right. I'm sorry. You're right. I said, yeah. He was nominated 5 times, won for French Connection, and then definitely for Unforgiven.
Unforgiven, that's right. Yeah. Okay. But he's got like 4 or 5 other nominations. He won 3 Golden Globes, 2 BAFTAs. That's a lot of hardware. Where do you – well, I'll ask you that in a minute. I want to talk about something else, Rob. I thought this was fascinating. Like you mentioned it, Dustin Hoffman. The two of them started acting. They went to the Pasadena Playhouse. Both of them were voted least likely to succeed. What do you make of that, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, they did not have – they had good faces for radio, as they say. And you know, they had to probably work harder to get on screen and to be – but the flip side of that was they were so memorable on screen because, like, you know, Hackman looked like a guy who had dirt under his fingernails.
Right.
I think even in the 60s, you didn't see that many guys like that. There's still a lot of pretty boys in movies and stuff. And, you know, he just made every part – really indelible, and my favorite movie of his was probably The Conversation, which is the Francis Ford Coppola one that he made between Godfather and Godfather 2. And there's just so many. Like I was thinking, like, I want to watch Gene Hackman movies this weekend, but like, where do you start? Like he's got so many good movies.
Well, and not only that, like I was looking at the list, I'm looking at it right now, there's so many I haven't seen. Like, I've seen a lot of them. I've seen all of his big ones. But, you know, and it's interesting what you said about what we were just talking about, the leading man thing. He doesn't look like, you know, Brad Pitt or Warren Beatty back in his day.
But right.
There are some people who are such good actors. You cannot not make them leading men. And I think that's a tribute to his acting ability.
And I think something that, like, audiences responded to. Like, I know... dads really responded to him in the way they probably did not to Warren Beatty when they saw him in a movie like Hoosiers or The Conversation or, you know, and then a lot of young actors, as you said, look up to him and look to him as inspiration. I think we talked about that Jude Law movie, The Order.
Oh, yeah.
And Jude Law straight up said, I was doing Gene Hackman in that movie.
That's no
I was thinking
way.
About Gene Hackman and The French Connection. And so he, even though I can't think of an actor right now who had came from the same place, I think he inspired a lot of what we call character actors today.
Yeah.
Especially the ones who kind of move from the supporting roles into the main roles, but somehow keep that character actor flavor when they do it.
Yeah, definitely. Well said. Where do you, here's another tidbit. I thought that was funny. He and Dustin Hoffman, friends, he followed, I think, Hoffman back to, back to New York, and they became friends with Robert Duvall, who I always thought was like very similar to Gene Hackman. They both had kind of this tough guy persona, but could be very subtle and nuanced in their performances too.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Gene Hackman, you know, he was a tough guy, and if a director or another actor wasn't pulling their weight, he was not shy about telling them. Like, I guess I was watching an interview with Bill Murray today. I guess Gene Hackman really put Wes Anderson through the ringer making The Royal Tenenbaums. Like, Anderson was pretty young, and like Gene Hackman really gave him a lot of guff on the set. But they sort of found their way through to, I think, one of his best performances and a great movie. So, he pushed people for sure.
Right.
But it generally seemed to work out if the other people were kind of up for it.
Yeah, it's funny. I forget he was in Tenenbaums. Like, I saw Royal Tenenbaums and just once, but it was so long ago. But a lot of people are mentioning that as one of his best performances. And you just reminded me of, I think it was Rushmore Bill Murray was in with Wes Anderson. I think that was the first time. Well, it was the first time he was in a Wes Anderson film. And Wes Anderson, talk about challenging a young director. Wes Anderson suggested something and Bill Murray just looked at him and said, that would be the obvious choice. Rob, where do you rank Gene Hackman in terms of, it's impossible to say who the best actor is, but do you put him top five, top 10? Where do you rank him?
I would say top five for sure. Of my lifetime for sure. Because like I said, it was such a long career and he did so many different things within it while still having a certain, like you said, inner, you know, honesty, I guess,
yeah,
say, when he was on screen. Like, he was always drawing from something authentic, even if, you know, and it was funny. I kind of wonder if other people had the same thing, whereas you heard he died, like one movie just popped into your head immediately. That was, and for me, you know, even though it's not my favorite movie, for me, it was Crimson Tide, Denzel Washington, because that to me was like the quintessential Gene Hackman performance, where he's like, it's a good movie, but he's great in it. Like, he is doing everything he can to make it as the best that it can be.
There, you could say that about a lot of films he did, though, even in like Enemy Lines or, you know, Enemy of the State, like The Firm, Heist. You know, he plays these Heist. Like, he's just so good at, but here's the thing too about Gene Hackman. Like, the first thing I did after I got some of my work done this morning was I put in The French Connection. And I just wanted to see as much of it as I could before I came in today. Hackman is a guy who jumps off the screen. He's got such undeniable charisma and panache, whatever you want to call it. He just is so authentic and so charismatic, to the point where Roy Scheider, who's also a great actor, kind of gets dwarfed. Like, half hour of that movie, Hackman's in this guy's face and he's pointing and he knows when to snarl, and like, he's just so natural. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that character has rough edges that, like, if it was a Warren Beatty or something, I don't think they would have, but it makes it such a compelling character. Like I said, he's not quite, you know, the white-headed hero. He's a little darker and more interesting than that, and then you just can't take your eyes off him.
Right. Yeah, well said. Where do you – okay, let's talk. Do you have, like, a – I asked you, I don't know if you saw my text. I was thinking we could do, like, a top five list. I would love to know what your top five, or at least the first ones that come to mind, Gene Hackman films are.
Yeah, just top of my head, I would say Conversation number one. And that's the one that's a little underseen, but he has the lead role in it. I would highly recommend that one. French Connection number two, Unforgiven number three, Royal Tenenbaums number four, and probably Hoosiers number five, I think.
Nice.
How about yourself?
I mean, it's hard to argue. Those are all phenomenal. I would say my one for him, and a part of it is I just like the role too, but Mississippi Burning.
Yeah.
And then I would say probably The Conversation. French Connection would be my number three. And then I had kind of a tie between Bonnie and Clyde and Hoosiers. But you mentioned The Quick and the Dead earlier, and he was such a great bad guy in that.
Yeah.
And he was a great bad guy in No Way Out, too. I really, getting that fifth film, I would probably have to say, you know, I'd say it's probably a tie between The Quick and the Dead and Poseidon Adventure.
I've never seen Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Is he good in that? Does he?
Yeah, he's kind of a leader, and he does this this great scene where he's trying to open a hatch or something. Hey, Rob, can we let's do a really quick break, and then we'll come back and wrap this up, right? And I'll tell you my favorite scene from Poseidon Adventure. Rob Thomas is here. We're talking Gene Hackman as Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Until I meet the doll, Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna say I look lovely.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Three elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Millburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 549 registered voters and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Millburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkol Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Millburn residents as Millburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Millburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Millburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165 to 138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. We are talking, I'm talking with Rob Thomas, Madison-based film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor. We're talking about the legacy of Gene Hackman and just why we are both sort of so in awe of him. Rob, I was telling you before the break about the scene in Poseidon Adventure that stuck with me. It was one of the first probably impactful scenes I watched as a kid, and he was kind of leading people through the boat, trying to get them to safety. He plays a priest, and but he was kind of that Hackman tough guy priest. I knew a couple of those when I was younger too, but he was hanging onto this big, huge dial trying to open a hatch for everybody. And the thing was piping hot and he's hanging. He knows he's going to die. And he's turning the thing with his hands, which are basically burning off from steam. And it's just so dramatic. And then I think he just drops down, if I remember correctly, and dies. But I was like, that was incredible as a kid, you know, to see something like that.
Yeah, he could play like I think he was a very grounded actor, but he could play big scenes as well. Like, did you see French Connection 2?
You know what? I feel like I did, but I don't remember anything about it.
Not as good as the first, but yeah. It still has his moments. And one, he goes to France after the drug dealers and he gets hooked on heroin against his will. There's a scene where he gets off it. He sort of goes cold turkey and it's really good. And it's like really like he really goes for it in a way you usually don't see him because he's usually such a tough guy. And and so he knew how to use that, I think, sometimes, you know, because he was such a tough guy, to be maybe more vulnerable on screen than another actor might let themselves do.
Well said. Yeah. All right. So just to recap, your list is number one is Conversation. Number two was French Connection.
Yep.
Three was Unforgiven. Four was Tannenbaums. And what was your number five?
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. That's right. All right. So if you're listening, folks, this is from a bona fide, awesome, genuine film critic. Check out those five films that Rob would recommend that Gene Hackman stars in. My list was Mississippi Burning, then The Conversation. And I'm lost here. Okay. And then I had, The French Connection. And then I think I have a tie between The Poseidon Adventure just because of probably that one scene, but how it affected me. And maybe The Quick and the Dead, I'd probably say. So all great films. Yeah, all good stuff. So, all right. Well, thanks for that, Rob. You told me you have Patton Oswalt tickets. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of another giant in his own field or genre, that's kind of cool.
He's playing at the Comedy Club in Madison, which is really
comedy on stage.
Yeah, isn't that great? Like all weekend. Yeah, it's been great to see him up close.
I thought I saw him like 2 years ago that he was playing the Orpheum.
Yeah, but the last couple of times through town, he's played the club, and I think, and I've seen a lot of big name comics doing that. I think they just like the room. Huh. Maybe he's trying out new stuff. He's not ready to take to the big stage. I don't know, but I'm excited.
That's fascinating. Yeah, he was. He and I were both in Jimmy Pardo's wedding party years ago. I don't know him well at all, but he was very funny at the roast. We all roasted Pardo, and Patton had some really good. He kept calling him Johnny Pardo. So very funny guy. And boy, what an acting career he's carved out for himself. I remember the first thing I think I saw him in was Justified, where he played like a local constable, and he had a go bag, and he was just funny, but a really good actor too.
Yeah, he's really good. And you know, I mean, I would say it's Gene Hackman level. He knows how to use his looks, I think, in really interesting ways on screen.
Yeah. Are you covering him, or are you seeing him just for fun?
Just for fun. As soon as I saw he was coming, and I think it was, yeah, I definitely wanted to go see him, especially in a comedy club environment.
That's excellent. Anything you could recommend, Rob? Have you binge watched anything?
I'm way behind on shows. There's a movie opening tomorrow called Last Breath, and I wrote.
Oh yeah.
Like it feels like kind of a Gene Hackman type movie from the '90s. It's based on a true story about this diver who gets kind of stuck at the bottom of the ocean with only a few minutes of oxygen.
Yeah.
Like it's an incredible true story, told a very grounded. Sort of like I described like Apollo 13 on the bottom of the ocean. So I really recommend that one this weekend.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Well, last night you were on the show. We talked Oscars. I did see Nickel Boys last night, but let's save that. Next time you're on, we got to dive into those films as well, and we'll recap all that.
We'll know how the Oscars were. Right?
Yeah, for sure. All right, buddy. Well, thank you for jumping on short notice. Happy Gene Hackman Day. What a legacy. And now go get some laughs tonight. That sounds like fun.
There you go. Thanks, Pete.
All right, you got it, Rob. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work at CityCast Madison. He's the newsletter editor and a great critic there in Madison. So where do you rank Gene Hackman, Conrad, on a scale of how many Gene Hackman films? I think you told me this earlier, but what?
I think out of the list I looked at, I've only seen Hoosiers.
Hoosiers?
But I've seen that like a billion times.
So you've seen many Gene Hackman movies.
Just one.
I'm kind of envious. You got a lot of cool films to catch up on if you so choose. So tomorrow night on Nightlight, as I mentioned, this is great. We have Anders Lindwall is going to pop by and just kind of give us an update on how his film is doing. It's having a very nice theatrical run here in Wisconsin and soon to be available on streaming platforms. But we'll try to get some information about that tomorrow night. And he'll talk about where you can see the film, I guess, for one more week. They keep extending it because it's doing well. So We'll talk about that tomorrow night with Anders Lindwall. It's a bar band Friday night. Terry Bauer will be here. And comedian James Connolly, who is headlining an event for the Fox Valley Veterans Council. He's a comedian and former Marine. He'll be here tomorrow night to talk about that event as well. So a jam-packed show tomorrow night. Thanks so much, everybody. And my thanks to Rich Tallarico, Rob Thomas, and all of your texts on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Our old friend Peter Ray Fine of EPOM's World is in with a wacky week in review, and Mr. Zomers rolls out a board game of the week. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky visits the White House today, and ABC's Karen Travers says Zelensky is looking for U.S. security guarantees, but that he and President Trump are expected to sign a deal that would share Ukraine's natural resources with the United States.
This is something that President Trump has been very interested in as a way to get back, in his words, some of the money that the United States has sent over to Ukraine over the past 3 years since the war started. And he's looking for Ukraine to, you know, give something in return.
The federal government's job cuts continue. 800 workers have been fired at the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. But a federal judge in California said the Office of Personnel Management does not have the authority to order firings of federal workers. It's the 15th day in the hospital for Pope Francis, the longest hospital stay of his papacy. But the Vatican says he's no longer critical. This is ABC News. One person.